Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. But it's Friday Night Fire with the Three Bros Fantasy Show. You know, every Friday we give you this on, give these nuggets to help you win your week. You can't win your league without winning the week. So me and my two bros, we come up here, bless y'all with knowledge, let y'all know what players y'all should start, what players y'all can sit. But before I go into that, let me introduce my brothers from out there in Fayetteville, North Carolina, my brother Jermaine. What's up, bro?
Man, what's going on, family? Good to be here another week, guys.
That's right. That's right. And then out of Tampa, I got my big bro. He just big in size. I'm still the oldest, but, you know, he just big in size. What up, Carl? What up, Carl? I think bro having issues again this week. But we're going to tonight on the agenda, we're going to talk about last night's game, and then we're going to talk some real football. We're going to talk about Christian McCaffrey's injury, you know, how that's going to affect the Panthers far as real football. We're going to talk basically on the fantasy side about his injury. And then we're going to talk real football about Justin Fields getting his first start against the Cleveland Browns. But, you know, like always, you know, we're here to have fun. You know, we don't consider ourselves experts, but we have won quite a few championships between us. So we do take fantasy football serious. So that's why we do this show. All right, bro. So last night, man, we had Carolina Panthers defeated the Houston Texans. You know, Houston's defense actually looked good to me, but you only can be on the field so much before the offense takes advantage of that. So I'm going to ask you first, Jermaine, what did you think about Carolina as far as the fantasy aspect last night?
Carolina, to me, they look a whole – a different squad with Donald running everything. Man, he's been playing well. I can honestly say I've been surprised. He threw for 304 yards yesterday, two scores on the ground. I mean, based off of Texans' defense, I kind of felt Donald would do good. It is unfortunate with McCaffrey. He was averaging like 30 touches the game, you know, going in, which I think it was a little almost too much. And I'm like, gosh, you know, I would figure, having you guys know, you know, figure this out from last year, you can't just put it all on him. So, but DJ Moore is on fire. They look good, man. I mean, man, Matt Rule got them boys playing hard, man.
Yeah, and I'm liking their defense. I'm really, really liking their defense. Although they lost J.C. Horn last night, that might hurt them down, you know, down the road when they – play against like Tampa and Atlanta with the explosive wide receivers. But yeah, man, this Christian McCaffrey thing is going to be kind of a pain. I have him in one league. I know I'm playing against Carl, and he has him in a league. I got him actually at number four, which I was shocked. But, you know, maybe the three guys that drafted above me knew something that I didn't know. But what's up, big bro? You here? Big bro.
I'm gonna go ahead and
talk from the Houston point of view. Houston, actually, their little backup quarterback wasn't bad, man. I thought he played good. You know, based on the circumstance of them not being able to run the ball, him and Cooks definitely got something brewing. But the lack of a running game is killing them, and I don't understand why they can't run the ball when they got Ingram, David Johnson, and my man Lindsey. I just don't understand why they can't run the ball. But at the same time, and sometimes when you – coaches abandon the run too early to me sometimes in football. And a lesson to be learned by that is last week, Tennessee versus Seattle. Tennessee did not abandon the run. All they was down kind of big. They stuck to the run, and the run kind of paid off. And then once the run paid off, the passing game opened up. So I think Houston may have gave up on the run too fast last night. And also I think that they missed Tyrod, that veteran leadership at the quarterback position. But they need another wide. I mean, Anthony Miller scored last night. I think that was his first game this year. So maybe he can be the guy opposite of Brandon Cooks. They definitely have zero play from their tight end. So maybe they need to run more screens to take some pressure off the offensive line and also off the quarterback, because you do have three running backs that can catch the ball. So Houston got a long way to go. I think a lot of people will be starting their stars and probably flex players against them. But they played tough to me last night. Their defense played real tough last night. Hey, Paul, you there? I don't know what's up, bro. Hold on. Let me try something.
Okay.
Hey, bro, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
All right, there you go.
There you go. What's going on, fam?
All right, there you go.
What's going on, man? I'm sitting here listening, but I can't. Y'all can't hear me.
Yeah, I had to try something. But look,
okay.
How was your trip to New York?
Oh, trip was great, bro. And Rochester is—it's a small. Well, it's not small, but it's an older town. But it's nice up there, man. Nice weather.
Good deal.
I like it. Your niece is she comfortable? You know, she learned her new city.
Okay. All right, well, so let's jump into the, like I was saying, you have Christian McCaffrey. I'm playing against you, and you have him. I have him in the league.
I got him too.
You know, so let's talk a little bit of real football, man. Oh, you got him too, Jermaine?
Yeah, I got him in. I got him in Big Clark League.
Okay. So, Britt, bro, I'm going to come to you about this one. So, how are you going to navigate around your first-round draft pick probably being out probably about two to four weeks?
Man, you know, it goes back to when you drafting, you know, hopefully pick a player that can hold you down, not just the bye week. And the one lesson that I learned from this is, unfortunately, that guy's extremely talented, but he will forever now be on my do not draft list.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I like him as a player, but from the fantasy side, I can't trust him. And so I you know, if I'm sitting at number one pick, I'm going for Dalvin Cook at this point. Because he started off kind of on that list, Cook, but, man, you know, he put together a couple of seasons of being injury-free for the most part, you know, and he's earned that. But, you know, McCaffrey, man, his stature is such that he can take the pounding, but his frame is failing him.
And
a pure athlete like that, the first thing that starts to get affected is the hamstrings, and that's what we're seeing.
He kind of reminds me of like
last year was a high ankle sprain, mixed with a AC joint, and then this year he's starting off with a hamstring. But I kind of agree with what Jermaine said, man. I think the Panthers are using him too much. He's averaging 30 touches a game. That's a little too much, man.
He need help. Yeah. Besides DJ Moore, he need help.
Yeah, I think they can do it like Cleveland guys and split up and carry between him and Chubba when he gets back. Because I think Chubba is competent to, you know, give him a spell. I think he can give him 20 touches and give Chubb about 12 and still be effective.
He did good last year filling in.
No, that was Mike Davis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it's Mike Davis is who they should have doggone kept.
Yep, mm-hmm. They should have kept him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he filled in admirably last year, and I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not in their front office, you know, or you know, following them on the regular. But there's no way I would have got rid of that guy.
Yeah,
I think Mike Davis wanted to start though, and plus I think Atlanta gave him a nice little contract, whereas I think Carolina wasn't willing to give him a nice contract. But I think while McCaffrey is out, Royce Freeman, he ran pretty good last night. Once Chuba got in the groove, he ran pretty good and he caught the ball pretty good. So I think with Freeman and Chuba, I think they should be able to survive 2 to 4 weeks. But the only thing about it is, I'm looking at their schedule. They got the Cowboys, and I want to say they got the Giants. Now they got like 2 tough games coming up. Maybe the Cowboys and the Eagles, something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they got the Cowboys coming up, which is a game they would definitely need C-Mac. So, but hey man, let's jump into this topic, man, because this was a hot button topic. You know, Justin Fields getting his first start Sunday, going against Cleveland. I think it's a hard place to get his first start, but hey, you got to get out there. So how you think Justin going to do Sunday, Tremaine?
I mean, the thing I'm thinking about when it comes to Chicago, it was talked about on quite a few channels about Chicago. I don't know if they know how to put their rookies in position to win. I think Cleveland is really going to give them some fits with Garrett coming from the edge. We all saw in the preseason how he was oblivious to the rush and got blasted by the Bills. Well, now you got one of the premier pass rushers coming against you. I just don't know. Outside of Allen Robinson, Montgomery is a solid weapon, but Mooney, he's decent, but I don't know if he has enough to be successful. Hopefully they'll just make it a run-heavy scheme, give him a lot of, easy looks, use a little bit of the, some RPOs, and put the offense like he had it, in Ohio State to make it really short, quick passes. I think he can move the ball, but I just don't think he's going to be successful in this game to start. But I do think long-term, based off his maturity, he's very mature. I think he's going to be really good, but I don't trust him starting him, even though Cleveland has given up, a little bit of points to the quarterback position this year. I don't feel solid with him in starting.
All right, Carl, I'm going to come at you another way about Justin Fields. So Nagy, the coach, said that when Andy Dalton comes back, he's going to go back to being a starter. In a way, I kind of understand what he's trying to do or what the plan is, but if you're going to be starting Justin Fields this week against Cleveland, why not just start him for the rest of the year? Where you at on that, bro?
Well, you can't just start him for the rest of the year at this point because you already gave the job to Andy Dalton, or you said he earned it. So, rule of thumb is you don't lose your job to injury. So, therefore, Nagy is going to say, hey, Andy Dalton is my our quarterback, plain and simple. Now, let's say Justin Fields goes out here and he, beats Cleveland, beats Detroit coming up next. They got Vegas after that. I mean, obviously, they're not going to beat. Hopefully they get Cleveland this week, but who knows? I don't think they're going to win as many games while Andy Dalton is week to week to force Nagy's hand to make him have to play him. So I think he's going to go out there. He's going to make some plays. He's going to make some errors. But I don't think he's going to do enough to say, okay, we got a quarterback situation here where we have to play Justin Fields. Let him sit back. Let him learn. And give him the reins next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you think it is. I mean, his week 10, if there was a spot to start him, it would be week 10. Because you just said, Carl, the defense of Las Vegas is playing good. Green Bay, even though they have some struggles, they're decent. You're going then Tampa, then San Fran, then Pittsburgh. I don't think it would be ideal. If you're going to start him on week 11, after the bye week.
True. I think the thing Daggy thinks, though, I think the thing he thinks is something that we all not thinking, is he thinks that the Bears are a playoff team. And I don't see the Bears as a playoff team. So with that being said, I mean, once you out of playoff contention, throw the rookie in there. Ain't no need of waiting. Ain't no need of doing all that. Just throw the rookie in and let's get the ball rolling for next year. So
yeah,
that's how I think they're good enough to make the playoffs, but I don't see it.
No, I'm looking at their schedule right now. I don't see it. But I will add that little caveat is I did have him down as my sleeper this week, so I go ahead and get that out the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I did that is because the Browns don't really know what to expect from him at this point. I think he's gonna hit him with a Manziel slash Baker Mayfield slash mix in a little Russell Wilson in there, where he may put up some numbers this week based on the fact that they don't really have no film on him professionally, except for a couple of things in the preseason, which, you know, that's vanilla anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, well, being that big boy already threw a sleeper out there, let's go ahead and jump into it. Who your sleeper this week, Jermaine?
Man, so I would say my sleeper this week, believe it or not, I'm going with Jared Goff, y'all. Goff is playing well. I know he's had a couple fumbles, but he's going up against the Ravens this week, who are really porous. I can't believe I'm saying this with a Baltimore defense, but Baltimore is giving up a ton of yards. Goff right now, he has two solid targets. The rookie Cephas, he's been playing well. And, of course, T.J. Hockenson, they've been balling. He's been playing pretty well. I think he's like third or fourth in the NFL in yards. And I think it's going to be a shootout in the game between the Ravens and Detroit. So Goff is one of my sleepers this week.
That's funny because actually Detroit looked like a real team in the first half against Green Bay Monday night.
Yeah, man.
And then in the second half, I just don't know what happened. It was just like they went from looking like a real good team to like a high school team out there. But my sleeper this week, man, I went with him last week, but I'm going to go with him again this week because people probably didn't listen. I'm going with Tim Patrick, man, Broncos wide receiver, man. He seems to play good when he's forced into duty. Last year when Cortland Sutton got hurt, he played well for the Broncos, even with Drew Lock being a quarterback. He played well last week. He scored a touchdown for the second week in a row. So when Judy went down, he came in the game, scored a touchdown. Last week as a starter, he scored a touchdown. This week they playing the Jets. Guess what? I think he goes 3 weeks in a row scoring a touchdown. So if you don't have Tim Patrick, look to pick him up. Maybe you might have somebody on your bench that's suspendable for a week. Hey, and if you got somebody like that, just go ahead and let him go pick Patrick up with confidence and play him this week. That's how confident I am with Tim Patrick, man. But let's get into it, man. All right, little bro coming at you. Which quarterback you sitting this week?
Man, so this week, man, I'm sitting Big Ben, bro. Big Ben has that pec injury. But even without the pec injury, Big Ben doesn't look – I think his best years are behind him. They're still doing the same type of offense they did last year, which is a little bit of dink and dunk. He's only averaging 41 points a game so far this year. In Cincinnati, they're a little bit above the middle of the pack in pass defense. But with that injury, I don't think Ben is going to be able to push the ball downfield to, like, Chase Claypool. And Najee is not really running good at all. I really think Ben is going to struggle this week going against the Bengals.
I think this is a little bit of real football. I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh go out to Aaron Rodgers next year. Ben, everybody know Aaron Rodgers is leaving Green Bay next year. I wouldn't be surprised if they throw their name in a hat because of all the young talent they got. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron would be a great fit for them. But Ben basically should have called it quits at the end of last year. I don't know why he came back this year to try to prove something, because he hasn't looked good since the first game of last year. So, I had Big Ben as a sit also. Who you got called as a quarterback sit?
I got famous Jameis, brother, going against the Bill Belichick's Patriots. I watched that game last week. He regressed. Looking like, 2019 was 30 for 30, and I don't mean ESPN. and it looks like he hasn't really grasped the Saints offense like they was talking about. I mean, two games and he's thrown less than 150 yards in two straight games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the Jameis. Even Jameis at his, what I thought was his worst, was still throwing for 300-yard games.
Mm-hmm.
And his longest pass is 15 yards. I mean, who's going to start that guy? Not me.
Yeah.
Not my team.
Yeah. I think he's going to make a mistake, Paul.
Actually, I think it's Sean Payton. Sean Payton, you don't got Drew Brees back there, bro. Let Jameis throw the ball, man. Let him do what he do.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the short game isn't Jameis' call, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis likes to throw the ball. Let him throw the ball down the field. You don't have Drew Brees, bro. So you kept him for a reason. You paid him for a reason. Let the boy play football. Of course he's going to turn the ball over. But you are planning his weakness right now by having him dink and dunk the ball. So I blame Sean Payton, bro. I don't blame Jameis. I blame Sean Payton. And plus, Alvin Kamara, come on, bro. You can't give me 5 rushes for 6 yards, dog.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, the guy that I'm sitting this week is Matt Ryan. After what I saw last week against Tampa, I think the Matt Ryan best days might be behind him too, dog. He got his feet are very happy in the pocket. It doesn't seem like he plants his foot to throw the ball anymore. He sees the rush too much instead of being a true quarterback professional that he is. I'm not playing Matt Ryan this week against the Giants. If you could go elsewhere, go elsewhere. I think in one of my leagues, I cut Matt Ryan and picked up Sam Darnold, and I actually played Darnold. I don't fell off the Matt Ryan bus, man. I might be overreacting. But I just haven't seen it these first 2 weeks.
I'm not mad at you about that. I'm shocked that you actually just cut him though.
Yeah,
that's like one of your moves, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I had to cut him, bro. I had to cut him. All right, Big Bo, give me a running back. Give me a running back. You sitting this week?
Man, I'm sitting. Darren Henderson, the Rams going against the Bucks, and not so much because of his production. It's just that they playing against my Bucks, whose secondary is depleted right now. So I'm guessing if I'm the coach anyway, I'm coming in and I'm unleashing the wide receiver hounds on my secondary. I'm going out there four wide almost every down, because somebody is the weak link when I got GM calling me to come out and suit up and see what I can do. So, and that's so, so for that reason alone, I don't think Darrell Henderson is going to get the touches that he needs to be a fantasy producer this week. So I'm sitting there.
Plus, he hurt. He got a rib injury, so they don't know. They said he was limited, and they're going to see whether or not he could practice tomorrow. Well, not today, Friday. So,
yeah,
I don't think – I think Sony Michel might be the lead back Sunday. But I kind of agree with you with Henderson. The crazy part is I took Henderson out of my flex, and I put I put Myles Gaskins in as my flex. So I agree with you on that one, bro. Who you got, Jermaine? Which running back you sending this week?
Man, I knew when Urban Meyer got that job, I had already had doubts. And seeing their offense for the last 2 weeks, I don't think he knows what the heck he's doing, man. So James Robinson, man, you know, everybody knows, especially Mumu. Last year, man, I raved about this guy, man. But for anyone who's picked him up this year, I mean, he's only averaging 5 points a game through 2 weeks. And what's more alarming, they are the only team in the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars, that have not attempted a red zone rush all year. That's crazy.
Wow.
So that is crazy. So right now, with their identity, they don't have an identity. They don't know what they're going to do. And James Robinson is a great back, I feel, who's really reaping the unrewards of Urban Meyer's play calling. So if you got a better option out there, maybe Trey Sermon this week or Kenyon Drake, I would definitely pick them up, but I would definitely bench James Robinson week three.
Man, I wrote down Robinson too. I wrote down Robinson. This is exactly what I wrote. Don't know what's going on with him, but doesn't look like the same player as last year. Yeah. Offensive coordinator. Question mark.
Yep.
But I'm going to go with Kenyon Drake, man, against Miami, man. I think Miami defense is really good. I think the front seven can stop the run. I think the Raiders offensive line is built more for pass game, not the run game. And I think what Kenyon Drake is put in a position where he's the lead back, he tends to disappear. I just don't like the matchup for him this week going against Miami's defense. All right, man. All right, Jermaine, give me a wide receiver you sent this week.
So I'm sitting Brandon Ayuk, man. He burnt me twice. I don't know what's going on with him, man. Man, I'm serious, bro. I'm like, man, what's going on, dude?
Hold up. Last week, Tracy sat him down, too.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, he ended last year on fire, if everybody can remember.
Debo wasn't there.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. Yeah, true that. But I'm like, man, dude. So it seems like he's in the Shanahan doghouse, and he should be in your fantasy football doghouse, man. He's not producing. He's splitting time. I don't know what's going on with him, man, but I had to drop him in a couple of leagues. I just can't trust him.
I did, too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So I know one guy I picked up with K.J. Osborne instead of him, who's on fire in the slot from Minnesota. But, yeah, I think it's time to cut him loose. It's clearly everything is flowing through Kittle and Debo. So,
I think Ayuk was false gold last year because both Debo and Kittle was out. And basically he was the only person I think Shanahan really trusted in the past game. And, yeah, man, because right now, Debo is leading the league in receiving yards. So, yeah, man, Tracy said the same thing last week. He said Brandon Ayuk was on his sit list. So Jermaine got Brandon Ayuk on his sit list this week. So we come back next week and we say sick Brandon Ayuk again, Brandon Ayuk should probably be cut from your lineup next week. Or
yes, sir.
Next Tuesday, Wednesday. So we shall see. All right, Wick, bro. Who you got? Who? What wide receiver you looking to sit this week?
Callaway, bro.
I wrote him down too.
Yeah, bro. You know, I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, this dude has 22 total yards in two games, and he's supposed to be the number one receiver while Michael Thomas is out. Come on. I spoke on Jameis earlier where he's not really pushing the ball at all, but 22 yards, bro. You either not getting separation, or you not being looked at. You know what? I mean, do we want to say that the defense is shading towards Callaway? He ain't that guy.
Nah, not yet.
He had four targets last week, two targets the first week against Green Bay. So, like we say before, it's not so much the catches. I need to see the targets because now I know the catches will come, the yards will come, touchdowns will come. Are you getting targets? And he's not getting that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I wrote down Callaway, and this is exactly what I wrote down. Just isn't the guy we saw in the preseason. Needs to get better for Jameis so Jameis could be better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know teams ain't shading their number one corner over to him, so it can't be that. That's true, because are you going to shade your number one corner over to a guy that's unproven? And they just don't do that in the NFL. So,
they man up first.
But I'm going with Corey Davis, man, versus Denver, man. I know him and Zach have definitely built a nice little rapport, but this is going to be Denver home opener. I live out here, so I know that stadium is going to be rocking. Denver has a great defense, and he's going to be matched up against Surtain Jr. and Fuller. I think that's going to be tough, especially with the Broncos pass rush. So you could go anywhere else, look elsewhere. I would probably look at Cole Beasley going against the Redskins in the slot. I would probably look at, Tim Patrick, like I said earlier. I would just look elsewhere. I think this is going to be a tough game for the Jets, traveling across country, playing in this altitude, and it's the Broncos home opener. So, hey, man, Corey Davis has been solid, but I would probably look elsewhere this week. All right, Big Bro, coming at you.
Yes, sir.
Tight end, you sitting this week?
Eric Ebron against the Bengals. Bengals give up the fifth fewest fantasy points to tight ends, and to be truthfully honest with you, it wouldn't matter with this guy or the rookie that they got out there, because he only got four targets all year.
Yep.
One catch, 19 yards. So he's just a blocking tight end for Najee Harris right now.
He can't block.
Hey, yeah, I'm saying, you know, that's he can't catch either. So definitely. So if you one of those guys that waited till the seventh, eighth round to get you a tight end, and you ended up with Ebron, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, you gonna be streaming every week.
Oh yeah,
you basically gonna be streaming every week. You might as well go ahead and put Dawson Knox on your team now from Buffalo. You might as well go ahead and pick up Dawson Knox right now. Hey, but man, Ebron is just very unreliable, man.
Yeah,
we said it week one. When we had him on the do not start list, he drops too many passes. He seems to only want to catch the ball in the red zone. And the Steelers' offense is kind of boo-boo right now. So, Ebron, I know most tight ends are touchdown dependent, but he is really touchdown dependent. All right, Jermaine, what's the tight end you're sitting this week?
Man, I got not one but two, and they play on the same team, man. That's Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, and I'm kind of concerned because, man, it looks like they're in witness protection, man. You can't find them. Neither one of them are doing nothing, man. Neither one of them. Yeah, man, you're talking about 3 points, 4 points, 3 and 4 points respectively, both, you know, both weeks one and two. So everybody, like, in the preseason, they were hyping up Jonnu, like, oh, man, you know, he's going to do X, Y, and Z. But now it looks like the offense is running through Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar, Keneal Harry. It's more wide receiver orientated. And there's not a really depth, you know, a lot of depth in the tight end market. Just like Moose said earlier, you really now are going to have to stream. If you chose even one of these tight ends early, the only way you're going to get points is you're going to have to just stream per matchup. But neither one of these tight ends can be counted on, guys, from a week-to-week basis.
That's funny because I went with some teammates also.
What you got, man?
Hey, I went with Cole Kmet and Jimmy Graham, man, playing Cleveland this weekend.
Yeah.
Cleveland has definitely upgraded their secondary, and their safeties can actually cover this year. So it ain't like a tight end just going to trot out there and get 5 for 70 and a touchdown. That's not going to happen this year. And I think with Justin Fields probably struggling this week against that pass rush, that, you know, he's going to have a tough game. And if the quarterback has a tough game, guess what that means? Normally the whole offense has a tough game. So I'm not looking to start Cole Kmet or Jimmy Graham this week against Cleveland due to this being Justin Fields' first start. But once again, sit back, look at how Justin progresses over the maybe the next couple of weeks, depending on how long Dalton out, and see who becomes his go-to target. See who he has trust in. You know, that way you'll know who he's going to throw the ball to. So, yeah, Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet, yeah, I'm saying y'all on the bench this week, bro. No hard feelings. All right, man. So, Jermaine, coming at you, what quarterback is definitely starting for you this week?
Man, I'm starting Lamar against Detroit. Detroit's giving up the ninth most points versus the quarterback. Their top corner for the Lions, Epikuda, he's out. And surprisingly, man, the hands of stone, Marquise Brown, man, for the Baltimore Ravens, man, he's making plays. Him and Watkins, Lamar, man, they're going to have their hands full, man. Detroit don't have no pass rush. They don't have nobody to cover. I think Lamar is going to pass and run wild this week. He's a must start in every league.
Okay, Lamar Jackson going against Detroit. Who you got, Carl?
Man, you know what? I went on the other end of the spectrum on this one. I went with Mac Jones against the Saints. He's in the last, you know, first two games as a rookie. Belichick allowed him to have at least 30 passing attempts in both games, and it's only resulted in one passing touchdown. But I feel like, you know, similarly to wide receivers and running backs and tight ends with the targets, you know, I'm looking at attempts here, and that just shows you the confidence that Belichick has in this guy. And going against the Saints, who just got torched by Darnold, I feel like, you know, if you looking at your opponent and you looking at your, let's say you got a Big Ben, that was your starter, you know, why not take a flyer on Mac Jones and see what he provides against a weak Saints team whose defense is always on the field because their offense is in shambles.
The only thing I worry about with Mac Jones, big bro, is air distance. He don't throw the ball down the field.
He don't have to right now.
Yeah. But I do like the matchup with them playing at home and with that defense. They got the number two defense overall. I think they're going to force a couple of turnovers. So he is going to have opportunities to put points on the board. And like you said, they are allowing him to throw the ball. So we shall see this week. The guy I'm going with, man, I was going to say Kirk Cousins, but Jermaine had Kirk Cousins week one. Tracy had Kirk Cousins week two. I got Kirk Cousins week three, so I'm going to go another way. I'm going Daniel Jones, man, against Atlanta, man. Atlanta is just bad on defense, dog. They made Jalen Hurts like an all-star. Tom Brady ate him up last week. Daniel Jones should be able to use his legs on them, run on them a little bit. Should be able to throw the ball on them too. So I think Daniel Jones, if you were looking for a streaming option, I would actually stream Daniel Jones this week. I think he has a great matchup, and they playing at home. So if the Giants ought to get off the skid is this week against Atlanta. And that'll probably be because of Daniel Jones. Mm. All right, man. Big bro, what's the running back you starting this week?
Oh man, back to that team that my bro Maine was on, Ravens. Tyson Williams.
Yes, sir.
Hey, dude averaging 6.5 yards per carry on a team that all they want to do is run the ball because LeBron, you know. But he's leading the Ravens in touches in both games and in a run-first offense. Why wouldn't you start this guy? He's going to get the ball. Lamar going to get his carries too. I guess he's sort of like a doggone touchdown hawk on that because Lamar still take it on you. But he's going to get the opportunity. He's getting the attempt. Again, keyword, attempt, target, carries. he's getting it. So I'll start Tyson Williams. And I also want to add that sometimes it doesn't matter who these guys are playing because their offense is built a certain way where they're gonna produce.
Yep. Yep.
And this is one of those. I wouldn't care what defense this guy was going. This team, the way their scheme is, I would start them. I watched the little NFL thing on the Ravens offense, man. Oh my gosh, bro. The things that they do in a run game is scary.
Mm.
Pulling one way, coming back the other, totally fooling the linebacker's eyes because you talk to watch the pull and then go that way. And they feed off of that and come back the other way with an option with Lamar and running back. Bro, that's just not fair, man.
Yeah. Actually, I wrote down Tyson Williams, too. I put Baltimore run on Detroit all day.
Yep.
And they're going to go up big, and they're just going to hand the ball off. Williams gets 100 yards on the TD easy in this game. All right, Jermaine, what running back you starting this week?
I got an Austin Eckler going against KC. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. KC's giving up the third most points to running back this season. And the big thing about Austin Eckler, he can pass and catch. So to keep up with KC, I think he's going to go over 100 scrimmage yards, maybe two TDs. But Eckler is going to, especially in PPR format, he's going to fill up the stat line. And I'm thinking it's probably going to be a 40 points a team, that is scoring-wise this game, probably be about maybe 80 points total in this game. So I definitely would start him with some confidence.
Yeah, yes, man. Sir. I think Kansas City defense is just terrible, dog. I mean, but when you spend all your money on offense, your defense is going to suffer. So your defense has to be built through the draft. So my running back that I'm looking to start is Tony Pollard, man. But I'm starting him in my flex position, not as an RB1 or RB2. I'm putting Pollard in my flex position against Philly. My eye test, when I'm watching the game, watching Dallas play, he's more explosive than Zeke. He's faster than Zeke. Zeke runs better between the tackles than Pollard. But Pollard hits the edges and gets to the outside better than Zeke. Plus, the play caller for Pollard has definitely got him in the open field where they can use his speed. And I like him being able to, you know, use his speed, use the play caller to probably have probably combine 70 yards and probably a touchdown against Philly on Monday night. That's 13 points coming in your flex position. That's really not that bad. So, and then PPR, you know, he probably gets you about 2-3 catches. So I would probably start Tony Pollard, but it would be in my flex position, not as an RB1 or RB2. All right, man. Little bro, give me a wide receiver you're starting this week.
Man, I'm going to start Chris Godwin versus the Rams. Last year, great game. But the thing with Jalen Ramsey, he was on Mike Evans the whole game. So I'm confident he's not going to travel to the slot. That's going to open up the slot for Chris Godwin. Last year, the yards weren't impressive, but he did have 7 catches, 53 yards, and a touchdown. So I'm thinking it's going to be the same thing this year. I know Antonio Brown is not playing, but red zone-wise, I know Mike Evans is a bigger threat. Therefore, I think Rams is going to be on him. It's going to open up opportunities for Godwin. And I still think it's going to be a high-scoring game because Brady, you're not going to stop Brady Cole. It's not going to happen. So I still say he'll have a great game this week.
Man, if AB was healthy, I would have had AB as my must start because there is nobody the Rams can put on AB to stop AB in this offense. They're not going to put Jalen Ramsey on him. Unless AB was to just get hot, then they would put Jalen on AB. But I don't think Jalen can cover AB out of the slot. So once you move AB to the slot, man, I think they would have murdered the Rams secondary with AB in the slot, but AB out. Who you got, big bro?
I want to add a couple things first. You mentioned AB being out, and that's cool. But I want to add to for the people that if you hurting you because you lost AB, go ahead and pick up that man Scotty Miller because he's gonna take over that spot. And he's just as good. They won't be able to match up with him either. He's gonna eat up their third DB. But also to answer your question, back to that same game, I'm starting Cooper Kupp. He's hot.
And yes,
he was hot last year when they played.
His grief.
Yeah. And double-digit targets. I mean, he just starting up the season on the bang, and he coming up against, you know, us who've given up the fifth most fantasy points to wide receivers. You know, we just feel like, hey, we score 30 points a game, so catch me if you can, basically. That's how I see it. And so I think it's going to come down to he's going to eat, and that's really what you want. I want my Bucks to win, but if I got Cooper Kupp, I'm hoping he busts him open like he did Indianapolis last week. Give me 30 points.
Oh, man. Yeah, Kupp, man. Kupp and Thielen, boy, they've been on fire. The two little white wide receivers been on fire this far as the year, man.
Man.
Hey, I'm just saying, dog. They've been on fire this far as the year. And Grunt with two touchdowns, with four touchdowns. I mean, hey, man, I'm just saying. Hey, big bro, you sitting down?
Yeah.
Big bro, you sitting down?
Uh-huh, yeah. I know what you're about to say. Go ahead.
All right. My start this week. It's Odell Beckham Jr.
What?
Whoa!
Where's in Chicago? Start OBJ this week with confidence. With Landry being out, he's going to be the number one target getter. They're going to put him in the game plan, and Chicago defense ain't as strong as it's been in the past, especially in the secondary. Odell should probably have anywhere between 5 to 6 catches. I'm going to say about 70 yards, and I'm going to say 75 yards and maybe a touchdown. I'm looking for OBJ and Baker to be able to click, being that Landry is out. I think Baker seems to be more free when he has one alpha dog on the field. You know what I mean? Because when Odell went out, he played better. Now that Jarvis is out, he's going to have Odell. So, hey, man, I'm saying start OBJ, man. You drafted him. This is probably – you probably thought he was going to be playing early in the season against Kansas City and Houston. But you get him back in a home game against Chicago. Chicago starting a rookie quarterback. And they got a suspect defense. I would definitely start OBJ this week.
Suspect.
All right, man. All right, big bro. Coming to you, man, on this live. So, man, what tight end you starting this week?
Oh, man, I almost forgot about the tight end. I'm starting Jared Cook. Them charges against the Chiefs, man. Chiefs, they give it up 10 most points to tight ends this season. And there's not a lot of tight ends out there that's producing that you can start. You know, I mean, you got your Wallers and, you know, your Kelsey's, but you got to have your guys like Jared Cook, because everybody's not going to have those guys. Tight end position is not that deep, so you got to look at matchup when you're looking at tight end and say, okay, where can I fill in this week? And this week would be, I think, Jared Cook.
Man, that's funny because I got Jared Cook, too. I put Kansas City defense as porous, going to be a high-scoring game. And he scored a touchdown last week, but it was called back. And he did have a taunting penalty, but, hey, I like Jared Cook going against Kansas City. Who you got, Jermaine?
Man, I got Noah Fant right from your backyard over there in Denver. He's going to be the number two behind Courtland Sutton in targets with, again, Judy out. And the big thing with Fant, over the last two games, he had 14 targets. Scored last year. I mean, last week. Fant is solid, man. I've liked him since last year. And it's going to be a high-scoring game, man, because the New York Jets can't stop a nosebleed. So I feel he's going to have many opportunities. Fant is solid.
Man. Hey. I'm going with teammates, man. I can't believe I'm doing this again. I'm going with teammates to start. I'm going with Ertz and Goddard, man, against Dallas. I think Dallas linebackers can't cover. Now that they got Michael Parsons playing defensive end, what they going to have, the Wolf Hunter and Jalen Smith trying to cover Ertz and Goddard, and that safety's not that good. Plus, Jalen can make a lot of plays with his scrambling. And Philly offense – really isn't that bad. They got nice tools on offense. And Jalen has played well. I like both Ertz and Goddard in this game. If you was to force me to pick one, I would probably pick Goddard because he's more of the pass threat. But, you know, Ertz is a veteran, so, you know, he knows how to get it open and, you know, where the quarterback needs him at. But I'm going with Ertz and Goddard, man. Well, that's where we at, man. You know, we gave you our sits, our starts, our sleepers. We talked a little bit of real football. We talked about the Christian McCaffrey injury, how that's going to affect the Carolina as far as real football and fantasy-wise. You know, enjoy the games this week. And like we always say, you can't win your league if you don't win your games, your weekly games. So win each week, and that'll help you get to the playoffs. Any last words, big bro?
Hey, good luck to everybody this week. I don't think I'm playing any of my family this week. I might have to double check. Oh,
you playing me?
Whoa. Which league?
We're playing in the VA Rebels League.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
That's the one you got McCaffrey. I think I'm playing Jermaine too.
I might.
I played you last week. You got me last week. I said, well, yeah, we tied 1-1 for the year.
Oh yeah, and see, in this VA league, man, you know, I was liking my squad, you know. But
I played Tracy this week. I played Carl in the VA league, and I played Tracy in the Big Clark league.
So back to what I was saying to the first before we go on that first question, we talked about McCaffrey and where we go from here. Hopefully, you drafted properly. So I'm looking at my squad, and I look what I did. I got Ronald Jones. Now, he's not Christian McCaffrey, but he'll hold me down for at least 8, 9, 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll take that. Yeah. I need, if I can get Hilaire to step his game up and stay on target, you know, and my wide receivers continue to eat, Gronkowski keeps eating, I can survive 3-4 weeks till he come back.
Yeah. You just got to know how to play that. You got to know how to stream. If you know how to stream and get ahead of the game and know how to do the matchups, you can survive. Yep. And I do play you this week too, Moot, but that's it. I mean, you got to be able to understand the matchups. And if you ever are drafting first, you got to have some backups. When you start drafting those late rounds, you got to pick up backup players. Just in case. And I was able to get Tyson Williams early. And I think that would be a godsend for me going on to the rest of if he has to miss some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at Carl's team. You slide Ronald Jones up to your RB2, and you move Marvin Jones to your flex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I put a squad together now.
Yeah. But all right, man. You know, it's always fun. It's always fun talking football, my two bros. It's always fun doing this show on Fridays. We'll be back next Friday. Little bro, man, we are praying for you. We know you got a big call coming ahead. So, hey, stay strong, stay positive. And we're here if you need anything. That being said,
man,
everybody have a great – go ahead.
No, oh, I'm gonna say, man. Y'all stay safe and keep up with your health. Don't take it for granted. That's all I gotta say. All
right. And on that note, we're gonna leave it with that. Always end the show with positive people, positive energy, yield positive results, and we always like to end the show with a peace.
Peace.
That's how we do it.